Hello, it's me, Matt Warwick, here. I have the distinguished honor of introducing tonight's 7-second delay. It's another quiz episode, and this week, the quizmaster is Nacho in Chile. In the first half, I'll be quizzing Ken and Andy on philosophy, and in the second half of the hour, Quizmaster Greg from Atlanta will be quizzing Ken and Andy on fictional time travel devices in movies. And without further ado, here is Ken and Andy and Nacho.
Ken and Andy back, and our quizmaster today is Nacho in Santiago, Chile. Welcome.
Hello, thank you. I love the show. I can't believe I got through. how are you?
Nacho, I do have to ask, number one, what do you do for a living, and what are you playing hooky from today that you should be doing?
What we're going to do today is I'll ask you some stuff about philosophy. I studied philosophy many years ago.
Okay.
Now I'm studying to become a high school teacher.
You're in school. Yeah. You're a student.
Yeah, I get back. I'm 37, and I'm back to the university to get my degree, and in that way I can teach in high school.
Well, your students will be lucky to have you. How did you discover WFMU from Chile? Did you live in the States and for a while, or?
No, I've lived my whole life here, and maybe, I don't know, 10, 12 years ago, I heard some interview of Bob Baird in Diane's Kamikaze show, and then I hooked up with the station, and years later I listened to your show and I loved it.
Have you ever met anyone else in Chile that it was a WFMU fan?
No, at all. And so I've met people. Yeah, I've met people from New York who hasn't heard the station either.
So you're our man in Chile.
Yeah, I've seen maps.
I don't know.
I've seen maps, Andy and Nacho, of where our listeners are listening in on the internet from, and there's always only one dot in South America, and it's in Santiago.
Maybe Argentina also.
Nacho, you're very, very important to us. You have to stay healthy. Be safe.
Yeah, you're representing an entire continent,
yeah, exactly.
Nacho. Not to put any pressure on you or anything.
But there's an Argentinian guy who talked to you also.
Yeah, he's nuts. That guy's nuts. Okay.
Yeah, no, I know who you're talking about. All right, so I think we're ready to go. And I'll give us a 3-minute warning before we get to the end.
I do have to ask before we start, Ken, are you confident about your knowledge of philosophy, Ken? Is this a subject that you feel comfortable discussing?
No, not really. I am not very knowledgeable about philosophy. I know what I like, of course.
Well, my questions aren't so hard, so maybe you'll get some of them.
Oh, right. Oh God. Okay. I'm completely at sea here. I'm completely out of my depth.
Okay, and if you don't understand me, because for obvious reason, you can always ask me to repeat the question.
So, well, just going forward, just so we know, if I don't know an answer, I'm going to blame your accent, and I'm going to say I didn't understand you. That's going to be my excuse. Ken, what will be your excuse for not knowing anything?
It's a trick question.
Yeah.
That's my go-to.
Yeah, exactly.
I just turned the tables on the quizmaster.
Yeah.
Okay, let's start then.
Okay, so, question number one. The score is 0-0.
Yeah, this is quite easy.
God, now I'm scared.
Let's go.
quite easy. Oh, God.
Okay, number one. Etymologically, what does philosophy mean? A. Love of inquiring. B. Love of wisdom. C. Love of science. Or D. Love of nature.
Buzz. Number two, love of wisdom.
Beautiful.
Got
That's
it.
Right.
Okay. I'm going to say, Buzz, I'm going to say A. Love of knowledge.
Love of inquiring.
Yeah.
Love of, yeah, okay. But love even of inquiring, I say.
I know. Even though you already told us that Ken was correct.
Yeah.
That's a Hail Mary pass.
Sophia means wisdom in Greek, ancient Greek.
It just felt right to me.
Oh, shut right. up. It felt right to me.
Okay. Number two. Which philosopher...
By the way, interesting aside... I hate wisdom. I hate it.
I don't know
how. So this is a subject I don't feel very confident in. Wisdom and I have never ever gotten along.
But 7 second delay can be very philosophical, maybe sometimes.
Yeah,
it can be.
No, I'm wrong.
It really can be.
Yeah.
All right. So let's move on to number two.
Okay. Which Greek philosopher died from laughter after joking about a donkey eating some pigs? A. Chrysippus. B. Socrates. C. Pythagoras. Or D. Aristotle.
Okay, Buzz. Here's why I buzz. I can eliminate Socrates because we know how he died.
Beautiful. Yeah.
Right?
So you do know something.
Okay, I do know that.
He was the guy who drank hemlock?
He's Mr. Hemlock.
That's right.
Okay, so because I've eliminated B, my odds of guessing this are have increased. I think I can eliminate Aristotle, D. So now I'm between A and C. I have a 50-50 shot, which is good enough for me, which might be the best position I'll be in all day.
Who is A again?
Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter, Ken. We don't know who A is. What the hell do you care who A is? All right, so listen.
Crucibus?
The previous answer was B. So he won't do... Okay, so I think he's going to do A. I'm going to guess A, whoever that guy was.
I'm going to guess C. Yeah. I'm going for C, Pythagoras.
Yeah. C was Pythagoras, A was Chrysippus.
Chrysippus.
Okay. Yeah. Was it Pythagoras?
No, it was Chrysippus.
Oh.
Yeah, you were right, Andy.
That's how you do it. And that's how you graduate high school without knowing a single damn thing.
Wow, Andy.
I never taught you.
Andy roars into the lead.
No, we're tied, my friend.
No, because I just canceled myself out. I guessed wrong on that one, so I got a negative one.
No, you didn't guess. No, you did not guess wrong. Wait, I'm so sorry. I believe I buzzed in first.
Yeah.
So my answer, the correct answer, ended that round.
Maybe you didn't hear. I guessed at the same time as you.
Yeah. Did you buzz in at the same time?
No.
Yeah, right.
So wait, so because I buzzed in first, you should have just deferred to me before you guessed.
Wow.
I would say your answer does not count against you.
Wow, listen to you being so aggressively gracious to me.
That's the new me, my friend.
Yeah, wow.
I've turned a new page.
I'll take it. It's a tie ball game.
Yeah. Okay, beautiful. I'll keep with Greeks because... Ancient Greeks has the best stories. Number three, it is not clear the cause
Nacho,
of Diogenes.
Have you ever visited Greece?
No, I've only been outside Chile and visited Argentina. That's all.
Oh, okay.
Wow.
Yeah, it's very expensive.
So for a very brief time, Ken, you had an FMU fan in Argentina.
I think we still do. But it's always the bright red dot in Chile that shows up on my geostat maps when I look at a map of the whole world.
Well,
yeah,
I listen a lot of the station. Yeah.
Yeah,
Ken, I've seen Ken looking at that map and masturbating. It's really,
oh my God,
it's really sad. He looks at the
now,
little dots.
I don't know now if I'm going to listen live.
Yeah.
Maybe the archives.
When will Ken put a lock on his office door? Why do I have to walk in and catch him doing this?
God.
Okay. Have you heard about Diogenes? Oh, I don't know. If,
Diogenes.
If
yes, Diogenes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Diogenes.
Yes. It is not clear the cause of death of him. So which one of the following causes is not attributed to him? A, he ate a raw octopus. B, he was bitten by a dog. C, he drank hemlock. Or D, he held his breath for a long time until he died.
Okay, Buzz. I'm going to do this again. I'm going to deconstruct the story again, the questions again. Okay, we can eliminate C. He did not drink hemlock.
Right, that was just to throw us off our trail.
Right. Diogenes, if I'm correct, Nacho, was the guy that went out with a lantern looking for an honest man.
Exactly, yes.
Famously.
That's
he
right.
He couldn't find an honest man.
Yeah.
He walked around the FMU Christmas party with a lantern looking for an honest man. Okay, so, okay.
But let me stop you.
But that's because... not on your list. I'm eliminating C. I'm going to say, are you saying which of these was something associated with him?
No, which one of these causes was not attributed
I'm
going to
say
him.
Hemlock.
So,
I'm going to say
exactly.
C, hemlock, yes. I believe he did hold his breath, and that's how he died. Is that correct?
That's a version of his death.
Yeah, that's a version. Okay, I'm going to say C, we do not attribute to Diogenes.
Okay, that's correct.
Yeah.
Well done, Andy.
So you do know about philosophy.
Well, I know two things about philosophy, and we've just gone through all the two things I know.
Yeah, I was very impressed with your Diogenes soundbite there.
But now I'm in uncharted waters. I don't know anything else.
Okay. Number four. From what animal comes the term cynicism?
Cynicism.
Cynicism. A, rat. B, horse, C, cat, or D, dog?
Okay, well, I'll buzz in.
Cynic.
Ken, I'll defer to you. Do you want to buzz?
No, I'm still, I don't want to guess blindly.
Okay, I will guess. Well, it won't quite be blindly. Cynicism. Cynicism.
Yes, cynicism.
Okay, but which of those animals, Ken, which of those animals would you consider the most cynical of the animals?
Oh, a cat. No,
say,
no question.
Exactly. Cat is exactly the answer. C is my guess.
Right.
Because I wouldn't attribute that trait to a dog or a horse, but a cat has that attitude. I'm going to say C.
And Ken, are you going to guess?
No, Andy buzzed in first, so this is his guess.
Yeah, it's related to dog.
Oh, a dog. Oh, okay. Yeah. I was wrong. Okay.
Andy's wrong.
Yeah. Kynikos is dog-like, and kion is the Greek word for dog. And this is related to Diogenes of Sinope, Diogenes the Cynical.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah, because he lived like a dog.
Can we talk again about Diogenes holding his breath until he died? How did that work exactly?
I really don't know, and I don't think that's even possible.
Exactly.
Well, it's so funny you mentioned that, Ken, because that's the idea for next week's show that I was going to pitch to you.
Do we both do that or just you?
Let's see if we can do it. Oh, no, not us. We're very important people. Let's get a volunteer in. Let's offer a volunteer $20.
You might have to pay more than that.
It would be the radio equivalent of a snuff film.
Yeah.
Hey, okay. Nacho, would you like to hear my philosophy of life?
Yeah, sure.
Here's my philosophy of life. If life gives you lemons, make lemonade.
Oh, that's
life, if life gives you testicular cancer, see if the guy who got lemons will swap. If he does swap with you, make lemonade. And then you should give him some because he now has cancer. And that's my philosophy of life.
I've been employing that, and I can attest it really does work.
It does work.
Yeah.
It's a lot better than let's hold our breath and see if we can kill ourselves.
Okay. Yeah.
That's a bad philosophy.
But did I mishear you, Nacho, or did you say that that was one of the stories that they tell about Diogenes, that he did do that?
Exactly.
I'm sorry. There's no details about how exactly he did that.
No, they also say that he ate an octopus, or that he was bitten by a dog.
Oh well, everybody
don't know.
Yeah, everybody gets bitten by a dog, and eating octopus—that's totally normal. But
raw octopus. Yeah.
Yeah, that's believable.
But in ancient Greece, I don't know. Yeah, well.
It sounds like Diogenes and his friends played a lot of double dare, a lot of truth or dare games.
Yep.
Yeah, maybe.
That's my takeaway from that.
A lot of bar bets.
A lot of bar bets back then.
Yeah.
Hey, Diogenes, I've got $10 that says you can't hold your breath till you die. That guy was an idiot.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he was very funny.
He was very funny. All right, question number five. These are, by the way, may I say, I can already tell you would be a great teacher. And
Thank you so much.
These are very thoughtful and challenging questions. And I say that because I currently have the lead.
Well, I think it's tied. I think we're tied.
Oh, we're tied. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Okay, number five. Yeah. When Archimedes screamed Eureka, what was he doing? A, making dinner. B, taking a bath. C,
B.
Writing.
Oh, I'm sorry. This I know. It's B. You buzzed.
Yeah, but you buzzed. You blurted it out.
So. Okay, I'm sorry. I got too excited because I knew it.
I knew it too.
Go on, and then we'll buzz in together. Go ahead.
Okay, and D, walking by D.
Doesn't matter. Yeah, D,
buzz.
Getting bit by a dog. Okay. Go ahead, Ken. I'll give you this one.
It was B, the bathtub.
Yeah, he's in a bathtub. I remember that
too.
What did he realize in the bathtub?
Don't you know? He realized that something fell in the bathtub with him, and he realized that the water raised. So,
oh, I see. Yeah, when
he figured it out how to measure irregular objects by submerging them in water.
Ooh.
And Eureka means literally, I found it. Like, I found the answer.
Yeah.
I heard he was sitting in the bathtub breaking wind and just popping the bubbles.
Yeah, that's...
That was my verse. That's what I remember. And then yelling Eureka.
Because he discovered that the contents of the bubbles were lighter than water and came to the top.
Had a delicious aroma.
And then popped and had a delicious aroma. Very complicated.
Yeah, so
I didn't read the whole Archimedes article, you know, completely.
The point goes to Andy, so yeah?
No. That was Ken because I jumped the gun.
Yeah, Andy blurted it out.
I did. I was so excited to know something. You have no idea what it's like for me to know something. You guys can't imagine the thrill.
Yeah, I can tell, yeah. This is more philosophical. So what is the central message conveyed by Plato's allegory of the cave in his work, The Republic? A, the importance of physical strength and athleticism in achieving true knowledge. Sorry, my English. B, the transformative power of love and compassion in breaking free from illusions. C, it symbolizes the journey from ignorance to enlightenment, emphasizing the role of education and critical thinking. And D, a critique of democracy as an ineffective form of governance.
Well,
do you want me to?
Ken, I have an idea, but I'll let you buzz in, Ken. I defer to you.
Okay, I'll buzz in and say D.
No.
Andy?
No, he's in the cave, Ken. This is where he's seeing the shadows. He's right? Is that right, Nacho?
Yeah, yeah. That's
interacting with people's shadows. I would say it's C.
That's right, Andy.
Wow, yeah. Andy. It's C.
Okay, I know I really know a little more about this topic than I remember.
Okay. Yeah, how do you know any of this?
I don't know. I don't know.
Okay, so
I honestly don't know.
Yeah, you do know philosophy, and that's great.
I feel like I have like a bunch of gray cells in my head that have just kind of rejoined the party.
These are things that you studied these things in high school, right?
Well, I'm sort of self-taught. I didn't study much in high school.
Yeah, you spent most of your time at the movie theater, right?
I spent most of my time at the movie theater. Yes, that's true. I did do a lot of reading. I guess I picked up more than I thought. This is actually very encouraging. I'm smarter than I thought.
Yeah, good for you, Andy.
Yeah. Ken, are you smarter than you thought?
No, I'm doing much worse at this than I thought I would do.
This is actually a good day for me.
Yeah. Yeah, you're winning, regardless of what the outcome is of our contest.
If I had a job, I would ask for a raise.
Okay, so number seven. What does axiology study? A. The nature of reality and existence. B. The study of knowledge and belief. C. The examination of ethical principles and moral values. Or D. The analysis of language and meaning.
Could you repeat the question and ask, could you spell out the term that we're talking about?
Yeah. Axiology. What does it study?
And how do you spell axiology?
A X I O-L-O-G-Y.
That's not how I would spell it, but that's probably right. Axiology.
Axiology.
I do not know that term, and I don't know enough Latin or Greek to even guess.
I'm going
to
say, I'll buzz in and say D again.
Okay.
Okay.
Oh, so that's wrong, huh?
Okay, so Ken's wrong, so Ken will lose the point.
And I won't say anything yet.
Don't say anything yet, but I will be disciplined enough to shut up and let Ken lose that point. So I will gain a little ground here. What is the answer?
It's the examination of ethical principles and moral values. Axios means value in Greek.
Value.
Aha.
So these are very thoughtful questions. Are these questions you wrote yourself, or are these from a standardized test?
This one is from a standardized test.
Okay.
The other ones, yeah.
Hey, I could have been a philosopher. How much did they get paid? Where do you go to work? What kind of office is that involved? How do you dress every day? What does a philosopher do?
There's a lot of styles of philosophers. First,
what do they do? How do they pay the rent?
Yeah, that's a very good question. I don't know. I mean, I really don't know. I've worked for some companies making research and stuff, but not related to philosophy. And I once studied for a PhD, which I didn't get. And they paid me for studying that too, but that only lasts a few years. So that's why now I'm studying to become a high school teacher.
So
that's
the main job. You have chosen, you get one life, Nacho. This is your one life. And you have chosen the most useless subject. Haven't you? You might as well be a blacksmith. I mean, it's just no one needs you.
In fact, I would really much like to be a blacksmith. Yeah.
Well, Nacho, if you were here in person, I would give you a big hug.
Oh, thanks.
So we only have we have to wrap it up in about 3 minutes.
Okay.
So we can, might as well be a DJ at WFMU. It's a completely useless occupation.
Well, it's great if you want to become a blacksmith, which I kind of do want to become a blacksmith.
Yeah. Yes, it's great.
See that the metal get orange hot? That stuff is really cool. And then you bang away at it.
I mean, exactly. the one advantage of being a philosopher is anybody that disagrees with you, you can just kind of smile and shake your head and, oh, you know better. Please, you know, you have that superior sort of attitude that you can.
No, I'm very humble.
No, you would win every argument because philosophers know. Okay, so this is the last question. You want to make it for worth 5 points?
Okay, do you want a last question?
Okay, so this will be the big final round.
Okay, I can make a question about philosophy or something related to philosophy.
Whatever you choose. This is our big lightning bonus round.
Okay, I'll choose this one.
Okay.
Which one of these celebrities did not major in philosophy? A. Steve Martin. B. Natalie Portman. C. Phil Jackson. Or D. Harrison Ford.
Who was C again?
C is Phil Jackson, the former coach from the Chicago Bulls.
Phil Jackson. Okay.
I'm gonna buzz. Okay. So Natalie Portman, I'm gonna say did. Because she's that girl.
She seems like she would have.
Okay, and then A. What was A? That
Steve
also
Martin, and he did also.
Steve Martin, I'm going to say yes. Steve Martin, I think, did. Yeah. I just read his memoirs. And C, that coach, you would not have put him on the list if it wasn't true, because he's sort of more obscure.
Good point.
Harrison Ford, I know... I don't even know if he went to college. I know he was famously a carpenter and worked with his hands, like our friend Jesus Christ. I'm going to guess Harrison Ford is my guess.
And then Ken?
I'll guess C, the coach.
Okay, you're both wrong. From what I've read, Natalie Portman majored in psychology.
Okay.
We were both wrong. We were both
Ford,
Natalie Portman.
Yeah, Harrison Ford. I'm not that sure, but I read in a couple of articles about him that he did major in philosophy, and then he made furnitures and stuff like that. And then he stumbled
into acting sort of almost accidentally, I think.
Yeah.
Wow, this was great. And I learned a lot. And for that,
you learned a lot from
yourself.
I will
never forgive you for that. I don't like learning.
But you didn't learn. You simply didn't remember stuff that you already knew.
I did recall more than I thought, but it was so great meeting you. Ken, are you meeting Nacho for the first time, or have
yes,
you
I am. I think I've communicated with him in different ways over the years, and Nacho, thank you so much for being our quizmaster today. My takeaway was that Diogenes had a really great magic trick, but he could only do it once.
Yeah, that's right, Diogenes. Diogenes should have learned to say no to these bar bets.
All right. Thanks a lot, Nacho.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks, Andy.
Thank you. It was a real pleasure. Good luck. Good luck with everything.
Thank you. Good luck to you, too.
Oh, thanks, man.
Yes. Halfway through, thank you so much, Nacho, Quizmaster Nacho. It's now on to the second half of the program, where Ken and Andy will be quizzed by Quizmaster Greg.
Our next 7-second delay quizmaster is listener Greg Siegel from Georgia. Welcome, Greg.
Thank you, Ken. Thank you, Andy. I'm I can't believe I got through. I love the show.
I believe it's pronounced Siegel.
That's one way to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's your preferred pronunciation.
Greg, thank God we had this talk. Thank God. Long overdue.
Absolutely.
And Greg, you're calling from Atlanta,
yes,
which I'm told is in the state of Georgia.
I have heard the same.
And I just checked you out. I just Googled you, Ken did too, and you're a very talented illustrator. What does that mean? You're doing self-published comic books?
I self-publish graphic novels and illustrated chapter books for young readers. And I do work for hire illustration for people who are paying.
Fantastic. And then what is your website?
My website is my name, which is a bit of a mouthful, but it's GregSchigiel.com.
Very catchy. Very catchy name.
I know. It's one of those things where, like, I tried to think of a general name, but then that, yeah, you know, every website is taken except for that mouthful of a
that
name.
Was the last website. The last website.
I got it.
And you grabbed it.
And I was able to get the .com.
The next guy in line has to be Greg Siegel 2.
Or 1, really.
Yeah, or 1, yeah.
Or the Greg Siegel.
the official Greg Siegel.
Yeah, the real.
The real Greg Siegel.
Oh, no, we're giving away too many websites.
And then we were told one subject for this quiz, but then as we began, you mentioned you might want to pivot and call it Audible.
It's not that I need to, it's not a desire to pivot. I came up with another idea for a quiz, partially from just being in my own head and then having heard some of the other quizzes, something that might be a bit more universal. So the original idea was fictional inventors and inventions and time travel stories.
Fantastic. I won't know a single answer, but it's fantastic.
And the new idea is Sesame Street.
Fantastic.
Muppets.
Oh, the Muppets and Sesame Street.
Yeah, specifically Sesame Street. So there'll be no Muppet show, no Muppet movie material in there.
Huh.
May I suggest doing the time travel, doing a bunch of those time travel, and then toward the end, if we have to break a tie or if there's a bonus round, time for a bonus round, we do one or two Sesame Street questions.
Sounds good to me.
I'm okay with that.
Does that work for you, Greg?
I think it would be incredible if there was a tie.
Well, I imagine Ken has a real advantage with this subject.
I don't think so, Andy.
Yeah, I'm not sure about this one.
You've surprised me in many of these quizzes, and you know, time travel and fictional inventions have been all over the movies, which you know inside and out. So
that there might be truth to that. It is true that these quizzes, I've surprised myself. I remember more than I thought I might. So yeah, let's get into it. You're a science fiction guy? Is that you? This is your passion?
I'm more into, I guess, like general fiction. I like time travel stories. I like superhero stories. So it's less science fiction. I'm not actually a hard science fiction person. I just like sort of fantastical, fictional worlds and that kind of thing.
I once wrote a sketch for SNL. Back when I was my other life as an SNL, where a guy goes back in time to save Abraham Lincoln, and he runs to Ford Theater to save the president, and he gets to the theater, and then he becomes so absorbed in the play, he starts watching the play, Our American Cousin, the play, and he forgets why he's there.
Incredible.
And then suddenly there's a shot rings out.
Now you made me think I could have done a whole Saturday Night Live quiz, but you would have sweeped on that.
No, I only know my era. Like everybody else, I only know two or three years well. Okay, so let's get going. Let's roll. I'm into this. I'm up for it.
All right, here we go.
And then the rule is, of course, just to remind all of us, we wait for you to finish the question, even if it's multiple choice, before we buzz in.
Yes.
Okay.
All right.
Ready to go.
Okay.
That's a preemptive buzz, Andy. That's not really allowed.
Okay, you're right. I'm sorry. I've got to be more disciplined. Okay, I'm ready to go now.
In the movie Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, which of Willy Wonka's creations found in his inventing room were the kids asked to steal by Mr. Slugworth?
What a great question. That's great.
Thank you. So this is the movie from the 70s with Gene Wilder.
Okay. So
I can only remember one candy in that whole story.
No. It must have been he's been asked to steal, like there's some sort of covert operation. So it can't be a candy. It has to be a process. Something I've seen the movie multiple times. It's a process. It must be a machine of some kind. Oh, it's a great question.
Wait, didn't Greg say candy? Which candy did he have to steal?
Which of Willy Wonka's creations?
No, it's a creation.
Creations. Oh, okay.
It's not a candy. It's some sort of process. Oh my gosh. It's a great question.
But it is the thing the kids were expected to steal, so they have to be able to walk out with it.
Yeah. Oh, it's a great question. And for that, I hate you because it's driving me crazy. I will not buzz in.
I can't buzz in. I have no idea.
All right. The answer is the everlasting gobstopper.
Oh, that's what I was going to say.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. That's what I was going to say, too.
That was the one thing I could think of.
Okay. Ken, when were you going to say it? Because I was going to say it a few seconds before you.
You talked me out of saying it because you were.
Yeah, I was going to say it.
You were suggesting.
That's going to be my new mantra. That's my new theme song. Oh, I was going to say that.
Well, I think I should get at least plus 10 points for
I
that.
I think I should get at least plus 20 points. I was going to say it before you.
All right, I'll put us both down for zero.
Yeah, the honor system. The All honor right. system game show. Oh, that's what I was going to say.
Let's see how you do on this one.
Okay.
Time-traveling Dr. Sam Beckett, upon arriving in and assessing a new time and place, uttered what catchphrase, of which there is a 7.5-minute compilation on YouTube?
Whew.
Sam Beckett. Wait, what movie or novel was that?
All right, I'll give you
was this. Was that H.G. Wells? No.
This is from the television show Quantum Leap.
Oh, for the love of crack. I don't know that show. But wait, what was the catchphrase? So you're basically asking, what was the catchphrase from Quantum Leap?
Yes, the thing he said in every episode once he arrived in a new time.
Okay, and it must have been something like, where the hell am I, or what the hell is this, or something. It must be some kind of exclamation.
Yes. Your logical processes are spot on.
Yeah, exactly, but I don't know the show. I can't guess. I mean, if there was multiple choice, one might ring true.
You want me to give you a multiple choice? I'll come up with
one
right now.
Or you can just give us a true-false, and I'll tell you if it's true or false.
Okay. True or false is the catchphrase, where the heck am I?
But
false!
False. Well, yeah, that's no catchphrase.
That is false.
That's no t-shirt.
Although the actual catchphrase is not so far off. It is, oh boy.
Oh boy?
That's just oh boy.
Just oh boy.
Well, wait, they coined that on Quantum Leap?
I mean, I don't know if they didn't coin it, but
they've trademarked it, Andy. Don't think you can go take a phrase
years,
like that.
For years, my joke on 7 Second Delay for years was that I coined the phrase, go to hell. Remember that?
Yeah.
That's not far off from oh boy.
No, it's not.
Oh boy. Yeah. Touching the writer's room of Quantum Leap. Hey, boss, can I just float something past you?
So in the
what
new
if he quantum... says, oh boy.
So they brought Quantum Leap back, and now instead of saying, oh boy, he says, oh, and then it cuts him off. Because he's going to say an expletive.
Oh, for the love of crap. And is Quantum Leap a guilty pleasure of yours? You enjoy the show?
When I was younger, I watched it, the one in the 80s and 90s.
In Quantum Leap, was he randomly hopping around in time?
Yes.
Or was he? Oh, okay.
Yeah, he was randomly hopping in time and assuming the bodies of people in that time.
And they always end up on the deck of the Titanic. Isn't that where they always end up?
I can't remember if there was a Titanic episode. There might have been.
And was he able, did he find that he was able to change the course of history or unable to?
His job was to change something in that individual person's life. So he wasn't changing historical events as much as like this person has to ask this other person out and he has to make that happen.
Ah, I see.
And once he does, he's sent to another time and place.
Do you remember the old Ben Stiller show? They had a sketch called the C plus History Student.
Incredible.
Incredible.
Yeah, Jeanine Garofalo.
She was going through history, Ken, hopping around in time, and she couldn't quite remember what events were about to occur because she wasn't a very good history student.
Yeah, she just knew George Washington had wooden teeth and something about shoes.
Yeah, exactly. What a great sketch. I know it was a good sketch because I was consumed with jealousy.
It is a great sketch. Okay, another invention question.
Oh, no.
Marvel Comics' Reed Richards.
Yes, got it. Good, yes.
Invented the ultimate nullifier in order to defeat which big nemesis?
Buzz. Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, is it a multiple choice?
No.
Oh, that Buzz. Okay, the nullifier. Okay, it had to be Galacticus, or is it the Watcher? Oh, wait, or was it the Silver Surfer?
Well, the Silver Surfer wasn't that large.
He was all powerful. He killed, destroyed worlds. I would say it had to be, if Greg is asking, it had to be the mother of them all and Galactus.
You are correct. It is Galactus.
Yeah, Galactus. Yeah.
Great job.
Wow. That's plus two for Andy.
He was Mr. Fantastic. Did you ever hear the Norm Macdonald sketch, Mr. Fantastic?
Yes.
Oh yeah,
that's as good as it gets.
That is a hilarious bit. Yeah.
So on our show this week, we're just reviewing funnier writers and funnier people.
But we get some points for knowing these funny things.
Well, it's just kind of sad that's what our show is now reduced to, to refer people to really funny sketches. All right, so we're on our way. So far, these have not been. These have been time travel and fictional inventions. Okay, correct. I love this. Okay.
All right, here's another time travel one.
Don't worry, Ken. Soon we'll get to Sesame Street.
Thank God. I can't wait.
Yeah.
And it's all sketches on Sesame Street about time travel.
I'm sure.
here's your next question. In an 1889 novel, Hank Morgan of Connecticut travels to what time period where his knowledge of a solar eclipse comes in very handy?
Oh, okay. I ding, whiz, buzz. Whiz. I'm yelling whiz.
Ding, whiz, buzz.
I should lose points for not remembering buzz. Okay. I believe that's Rip Van Winkle.
No, but Rip Van Winkle was written way before. What did you say? 1881?
Oh, no. Connecticut Yankee. Oh, no. Connecticut Yankee in King Arthur's Court.
King Arthur's Court is correct.
Yes.
Wow, Andy.
It took me two guesses, so I don't know how you want to
say it. Yeah, that's true. You don't get it for that.
Okay. But I still impress myself.
No, that's good. The clue, I did say Connecticut, so I that was there.
Oh, okay. I should have known. Okay.
But that's all right. All right. All right. Ned Brainerd in 1961's The Absent-Minded Professor and Philip Brainerd in the 1997 remake invented what bouncy substance?
Buzz. Yes. Oh, I'm sorry. I should wait.
This is a two-parter.
Okay.
A portmanteau of what two words? I want the name of the invention and the words used to make that portmanteau.
Okay. Buzz. I don't know what portmanteau means.
Buzz.
But I'll buzz. I'll buzz because. Oh wait, Ken, did you buzz?
Yeah, I buzzed.
Go ahead. I'll let.
It's Ken. Flubber.
Right.
And it's rubber. One of the words is rubber, and the other word is
It must be fictional. It must be something they made up there.
Floating rubber.
Oh, floating. Yeah, wait.
Floating, yeah.
Floating.
Floating rubber.
Very close. It's flying rubber.
Ah, but flying rubber.
Oh, yeah.
The points.
Well done. Oh, okay. Ken, very well done.
I'll take flying the damn rubber. Point.
No, right. Well, you earned it. Very well done.
All right. How much
flubber,
time
those flubber sneakers now, they're selling for like $5,000 a pair.
Oh, my God. Did you invest in those?
Well, you know, it's the only shot I have to hold my own on a basketball court is flubber sneakers.
Because I know that you've put several of your children through college by investing in comic books and things like that.
I did for a while, right. That's correct. I was buying investment grade Silver Age comics. And I had to sell my collection when my kids got accepted to a private school.
But that's what it was for, right? I mean,
that was not a good, it was not a happy day for me.
But still, you made out really well. That was very smart of you.
It was actually, as far as an investment, you couldn't do better for a while than Silver Age comics.
Yeah, incredible. If you're doing Silver Age stuff.
I mean, thanks to the Marvel movies, they became a real hot prospect.
Wow.
Oh, for sure.
Huh. Okay, Greg, so bring us on to round six.
And Ken, what is the score as far as you?
It's 2-1. You're winning.
I am?
Yeah, this is like the most normal score we've ever had. We're both in positive territory. Most of the quizzes we have end with like Andy minus 13 to me minus 9. No.
I'm going to be honest with you. I'm dreading the Sesame Street question. And I just know I'm going to lose. Whatever I gain here, I'm going to lose in that last quarter.
All right, here's this one. This one might be a little tricky. This is sharing the name of a David Bowie song.
Oh, no, I'm lost.
What British TV series that also spawned an American version tells the story of Sam Tyler, a police officer in 2006?
Oh, I can do this. Buzz.
Oh,
buzz.
Andy buzzed first.
Oh, no, you can buzz, Ken. Go ahead.
Starman?
No. Oh, lose a point. I'll take this one. Life on Mars,
correct.
Yeah.
Wow, very good.
All right.
I know three David Bowie songs.
There was a sequel to that show, a follow-up season that was called Ashes to Ashes.
Okay. Do you recommend that show? Did you enjoy it?
I like Life on Mars a lot. I never finished Ashes to Ashes, but Life on Mars was great.
Greg, you're fun to hang with. You're now officially my fourth best friend.
Holy cow. I'm putting that on my website.
Yeah. Ken. Well, it's 4 out of 4. It's not the greatest.
To be honest with you,
it's not that impressive.
It's in the top five. All right. I've got another inventor question.
Okay.
What ancient mythological inventor created the labyrinth, which held the Minotaur, and invented wings, which, in textbook hubris, led to his own son's death?
Well, Buzz, I know Icarus was the...
But the question then is, who is Daedalus and Icarus's dad who built the labyrinth? Oh.
Oh, I wonder if Ken's on Google at this moment.
No, I'm not. Oh. I'm not.
I wonder if I wonder if Ken has his phone in his hand.
I don't.
Well, all I know is Icarus. If that's not right, I've lost my point.
It is not Icarus.
I'm going to take 1 point off for Andy, and I'm not going to guess.
That's a smart move.
Yeah.
Oh, see, you should have guessed because it was Daedalus. Daedalus is the father.
Ken, you knew it. Okay.
Oh, Daedalus was the father. Oh.
Yes.
Oh, for some reason, I thought Daedalus and Icarus were brothers. I don't know how
Daedalus was the father.
Ken, you were smarter than you thought.
Oh, well. So Daedalus invented the labyrinth also?
Yes.
Busy man.
Yeah, wow. Very, very skilled until it came to wings.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right. This is a big one. This one's a two-part biggie in the time travel category.
Dear God, help me.
Bill S. Preston Esquire and Ted Theodore Logan travel throughout time and bring 8 historical figures to 1988 San Dimas, California.
Yes.
Name as many as you can. 1 point for each.
Buzz.
All right.
Okay, so that's Bill and Ted.
Oh.
Okay, so here we go. Bill and Ted. I know they brought back... Okay. They brought back... did they bring back Einstein? Did they bring back Ben Franklin? Did they bring back Attila the Hun? Wait, there must have been a woman. Is that Cleopatra? Oh, maybe... Cleopatra, Joan of Arc. Oh,
Andy,
no.
Andy's guessed 5 people now. Greg,
Abraham Lincoln. Wait, I'm just trying to remember.
That's 6.
turn the movie.
But if you're not right, then
I'll take points off. Yeah. I'm just wait. Hold on,
Greg. Ben where Frank does he stand? He's named six people.
Of the six, he has named two correct.
Oh, for the love of Christ!
That's minus four.
Oh, okay, fine. Oh, then I better shut up. I'm losing ground. What a great question.
Thank you, Ken. Do you want to try naming any of these?
No, I'm just going to hold and end with a zero, so I come out ahead
Ken,
on that.
You don't even have to show up to win these games.
All right. So the eight historical figures will play into the follow up question. So they are Napoleon.
Oh, that's right.
Billy the Kid.
Oh, that's right.
Socrates.
Oh, that's right.
Sigmund Freud.
Oh, of course.
Beethoven.
Oh, of course.
Joan of Arc.
Yeah.
Genghis Khan.
Yeah.
And Abraham Lincoln.
Okay.
All right. Here's an opportunity for bonus points. There's a scene in the movie where all the historical figures are coming out of the phone booth and Bill and Ted are introducing them to Bill's stepmother and they disguise their names. How many of those can you do? The disguised names of the historical figures.
You mean they're trying to pretend
yes.
these are that these guys are just friends from the neighborhood.
Correct.
I'm drawing a blank.
Yeah, I've never seen either of these movies, so yeah.
Oh my God! Well, it makes me want to see the movie again. I mean, it's fantastic.
Yeah, here are the names. At least there's seven of them. Yeah, because Napoleon isn't with this group. It's Dave Beethoven, Maxine of Arc, Herman the Kid. My personal favorite is Bob Genghis Khan, Socrates Johnson, Dennis Frued.
And
Abraham Lincoln. They do nothing with Abraham Lincoln.
I remember them calling Socrates.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
All right.
So that's obviously one of your favorite films.
I do enjoy that movie. It's one of my favorite time travel movies for sure.
I know Ed Solomon a little bit.
I've seen his posts on the website formerly known as Twitter.
Right.
So we have about 4 minutes left.
Oh, so okay. So you've taken the lead, Ken, and I guess I need to know a little bit about Sesame Street in order to recover that. So
all right.
How about last two questions are Sesame Street questions.
Okay.
And by the way, Greg, can I compliment you? These questions have been really thoughtful and we really appreciate the time you put in.
Oh, this has been a thrill. I'm thank you so much. I'm enjoying it very much. Okay. We'll do Sesame Street questions. This one is somewhat inspired by one of the quizzes I heard you do. You both know the Beatles very well.
John, Paul, George,
come on,
Ringo.
Andy. Oh, you did it. Great.
Okay.
Oh,
if only that were the question.
I hope to God that's the question.
It is not.
Oh, shoot.
Here's the question.
Oh, shoot. Yeah.
Sesame Street was sued by the copyright owners of the Beatles catalog, not any of the actual Beatles, for their parody of what song? Bonus points for the name of the parody.
Oh, man. I wonder if it was Michael Jackson who owned...
who sued them?
Oh, no, but he bought McCartney's rights, not the Beatles' rights. Hmm. That's a great question. No, I'm stumped though.
Well, but what song would Sesame Street teach the kids? Okay, I'm gonna
like
yellow. I'm gonna bait Buzz. Yellow Submarine.
Yeah, Yellow Submarine.
That would be a guess.
It is not Yellow Submarine.
Okay, sorry. What is it?
The song in question was "Let It Be."
Oh, for B, the letter B. Oh, letter B.
And the parody song was "Letter B."
Oh. Perfect. Oh, what
and the story did involve Michael Jackson.
Oh, it did. So okay.
Yeah. So the person who did the lawsuit was not Michael Jackson, but in the course of the lawsuit, Michael Jackson then acquired the rights and they settled for either $50 or $500. But the original lawsuit was for $5.5
million. Wow.
Wow. They settled for $50?
$50 or $500. I can't remember
wow.
what the number was.
Either way, it might as well be $50, considering how valuable that would have been.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Great question, Greg. Thanks.
Also, you got to give it to the Sesame Street writers. That's a great idea for a parody song.
Yeah.
All right. Here's this one's. This one, when I learned this, it fascinated me. So, in the movie I Am Big Bird, Carol Spinney, who played Big Bird, talks about how he almost participated in what, as Big Bird, he almost participated in what tragic event in U.S. history?
Oh, it was that tragic bungee jumping incident in Scottsdale, Arizona.
What the hell are you talking? No. The answer will surprise you, and I don't think it really, I think it kind of diminished the movie, but the answer was the Oklahoma City bombing. He did a whole little monologue about it. And to me, it kind of took the movie, it kind of was misplaced in that movie.
It was not the Oklahoma City bombing.
Oh, then I'm misremembering it.
And Ken, you're saying the bungee jumping accident?
No, I'd like to revise my guess. Can you ask the question again?
Yes. Carol Spinney, as Big Bird, almost participated in what tragic event in U.S. history?
Can you ask the question one more time?
The performer of Big Bird, Carol Spinney, as Big Bird, almost participated in what event in U.S. history that was tragic?
Okay, don't be mad. Just ask it one more time.
Sure. There was a tragic event in U.S. history that almost involved Carol Spinney performing as Big Bird. What was that event?
I don't know.
The voyage of the Hindenburg.
Close. It was the Space Shuttle Challenger mission.
Oh, my God. Was that really mentioned in the movie?
Yeah, Big Bird almost got into that rocket.
Wow.
Oh, my God. What a bummer.
Yeah.
With that teacher.
I thought I was making a joke with Oklahoma City.
Yeah, there was that teacher who went on to the Challenger.
Right. Krista McAuliffe was the teacher.
Yeah.
They were doing
heavens. That's a horrible reference for a kid's movie.
Oh, I was in fifth grade when it happened. It would have destroyed my brain.
Yeah,
forever.
She dodged a bullet, Andy. Look at the bright side. She didn't. Big Bird did not perish on the Challenger, Andy.
That's the only silver lining when I saw that Challenger explode and I learned that Big Bird was not on board. That was the only silver lining that day, the only positive you could take away.
It really is, though, the one.
On a day like that, it's so valuable to have something like that to cling to.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
I felt that way, the same thing about the tsunami in Japan. Oh, God, thank God Big Bird wasn't there.
I think we can all use that as a nice barometer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah. Is Big, that's everyone's first question. Is Big Bird okay?
Yeah. We can replace "This Too Shall Pass" with "Was Big Bird there?"
Yeah.
Well, Greg, this has been a great quiz. Thank you for all the time you put into it.
This has been an absolute blast.
Oh, good.
I'm a fan of you both. And,
we're a fan of yours too. Your art is great. And once again, people can see Greg's art at Greg with two G's, SCHIGIEL.com. Thanks, Greg. Nice. Thanks, Andy.
Thank you.
Thanks, Greg. Talk soon. Thank you.
Thank you, Quizmaster Greg from Atlanta. That was an amazing quiz. I got everyone wrong. thank you. And thank you, Nacho, for the first half. This has been 7 Second Delay. You are listening to WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope in New York City, the Big Apples, and Rockland County at 91.9 FM, and online at WFMU.org. Ken and Andy will be live next week, so tune in. And coming up right now is Weekly World Blues with Matt Fivesh. Don't you dare turn off that radio.
this is a sound of the blues scale. The blues scale is very simple, very useful, but also very simple to build. All you have to do is know your minor pentatonic scales. So in this case, I was playing A.
Blues come so many different ways until it's kind of hard to explain.
Let your poor heart bleed, baby, little but baby, that's the glory of love. Cry a little, sigh a little. Let your cloud roll by, baby, little bud, baby. That's the glory of love. Long as there are just the two of us, how the world is charmed. Long as there are just the two of us, hold each other's arm. Baby, now win just a little, lose a little. Sometime had the blues, baby, little bud, baby. That's the glory of love. Just the two of us, we have the world in its charm. Long as thou just the two of us, we hold each other's arm. Baby, now win just a little, lose a little. Sometime had the blues, baby, little but baby, that's the glory of love.